It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Jean Purcell, here today for Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll hear about a recent investigation into injuries and deaths at some Wisconsin assisted living facilities and how the industry and the state are responding.
First, though, Representative Katrina Shankland has been the youngest member of the state legislature during her freshman term. But now, as a new legislative session takes place, she won't be the youngest anymore, and she will also have some new responsibilities.
In January, Representative Shankland takes over as the Assembly's Assistant Minority Leader. She's the Democratic State Representative from Wisconsin's 71st District, representing the Stevens Point area.
Representative Shankland joins us now to talk about what her priorities are going to be during the coming session. And her goal, at least one of her goals, is to try to make sure that the state legislature is a body which works for young people in Wisconsin. Representative Shankland, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, before we talk about what's on your plate for the coming session, I'd like to take a few minutes to look back on your first term as a state lawmaker. What inspired you to run in the first place, and what was it like coming into the state legislature as the youngest member of the state assembly?
Sure. Well, I ran for office when I was 24 years old in a very crowded primary. It was a 9-way primary, and the reason why I decided to run was because I am a young progressive woman, and I'm very proud of being a progressive, and I really wanted in my primary to have a progressive voice. What I saw in state government, whether it was education policy, healthcare policy, clean government policies, or lack thereof, deeply concerned me. And I realized that you can only complain about something so much before it's time for you to, you know, get your hands dirty and put your money where your mouth is. So I did decide to run for office as a result. And coming into the Capitol as a young woman is definitely an interesting experience. One anecdote I'll share is, I remember one of my first committee meetings, I was in an elevator that turned out to be a couple of lobbyists, and they didn't know who I was, and they were asking me if I was planning on testifying on a bill that they were lobbying for, and I said, actually, you know, I'm a legislator, and I'll be voting on that bill today. So I think people just aren't used to seeing young women as legislators in the Capitol, and I feel it's not only our obligation to change that, but we need to work very hard to do so. My goal is to have the state of Wisconsin's government be truly representative of the citizens of our great state.
So now that you've got one term under your belt, what do you think is really does need to change in the legislature going forward? Is it that focus on youth? Is it that focus on what, in your estimation?
I think we need new ideas. The state capitol desperately needs diversity. We need bold ideas. We need a vibrant agenda. We need people who are willing to stand up for what's right and to stand against the status quo. I think a lot of people in our state are suffering right now because maybe they got kicked off of Badger Care or they see their public schools funding dwindling. And what I would like to see happen in our capitol is an injection of new ideas and a new spirit in the capitol, being innovative and excited about these new ideas. So as the assistant minority leader for the Assembly Democrats, what I'm really excited to help do with my caucus is bring about this change by advancing a bold and vibrant agenda. So that is one of my greatest goals for the second term.
It's kind of an uphill battle, though, don't you think? I mean, we're just a month away from the election, and some people would argue that the electorate has decided that what they want is what the legislature looks like now. And, you know, mostly Republican, mostly conservative, and not necessarily the types of ideas you want to bring forward.
What I would argue is that, you know, we've seen a lot of changes in state government. The Republican legislators have made it harder to vote, and they have made it easier to remove yourself from government by making people kind of disenchanted. And what I want to do is bring government to the people. I want to advance the people's agenda, and I want to communicate with my constituents, not just in the Capitol, but in my district. And I want our caucus, the Assembly Democrats, to travel all over the state talking to people directly. What I've learned doing many doors across our state is so many people feel disconnected and disheartened from their government. And we are, as legislators and representatives of the people, it is our responsibility to change that and to make them feel connected. And I think that especially starts with young people who obviously voted a much lower rate than baby boomers, for example. But I also think, you know, being in the minority party, it's our responsibility to advance thoughtful initiatives that resonate with the public that are new and exciting. So I think we can do a lot, even though we're in the minority, to not only contrast ourselves with the majority party, but also to show the Wisconsin public what we would be doing if we were in the majority. And the ideas like student loan debt, you know, traveling across the state and talking to students on campus about the crushing student loan debt that they have right now, that's what Assembly Democrats have already done. And I think we can do even more of that in the next session to show the Wisconsinites that we're standing up for them and we're fighting for them.
So as you look at the coming session, do you see any areas where, as Democrats, that there are areas of consensus that you're going to see with Republicans? Because, you know, what we hear when you see the headlines, when you listen to the radio, is how polarized everything is. Where are their efforts, or where are there areas, do you think, where there is an opportunity to work across party lines?
Well, I think workforce development is one of those issues. I sit on the Assembly Workforce Development Committee, and that is one of the committees that I had the opportunity of sitting on where we did occasionally work in a bipartisan way. What I'll say is, you know, at any opportunity, if there's something that we can agree on that our constituents also agree with, we can take it. But at the same time, you know, when the main initiatives that we're seeing are increasing funds into voucher schools instead of our public schools, and attacking the Government Accountability Board, I also think it's important to stand on your principles and your values and, you know, defend the institutions that are being attacked. So it's definitely a balance. But, you know, looking at a new agenda and what we can do, I think that it's about talking about student loan debt, for example, working on eliminating brain drain in our state. That should be a nonpartisan issue. Talking to some of my local businesses and thinking about how many of my friends who are college graduates who ended up leaving the state, I think that's an issue that we should be able to work on and that Assembly Democrats could lead on that could hopefully gain some nonpartisan traction.
And before I forget, I want to ask this question about your new title as Assistant Minority Leader, because it's something we'll see in the paper, but a lot of people probably don't exactly know what that means. So what does the Assistant Minority Leader do in the State Assembly?
Sure. So it's a leadership position that works with the minority leader to basically speak for and help lead the caucus and also negotiate with the other side's leadership. So we help advance the Assembly Democratic Caucus's agenda, and we also sit down with the other side to negotiate on key issues, whether it's floor periods or rules.
All right. So as we look ahead to the next session, one of the things we've heard a lot about in the last week or so is right-to-work legislation. Governor says it's a distraction. There are others who say, nope, it's got to be done right now. Where do you stand on that?
I am incredibly opposed to right-to-work for less legislation, and the reason why is, on average, in states that have right-to-work legislation, the wages are less than you would actually lose about $5,000 in states with right-to-work for less legislation than in non-right-to-work for less states. So I think that says a lot about the fact that right-to-work legislation can drive down wages. There's also less health insurance access in right-to-work states. The poverty rate is 12.5% higher in right-to-work states, and workplace deaths is 51% higher in right-to-work states. Obviously, those statistics are incredibly concerning, but just thinking about what the right-to-work for less legislation would do to the middle class in Wisconsin. I haven't heard from a single constituent who has asked any legislator to diminish the middle class. We want, as Assembly Democrats, to rebuild the middle class. Right to work for less legislation would unfortunately diminish it. And I think, you know, first of all, looking at what we should be doing as soon as we get into session in January, we should be working to create family-supporting jobs, not eliminating them. And that's what Right to Work would do. So I'm very concerned about it. I would caution anyone who thinks it's a good idea to look at the statistics, given that, you know, in Right to Work states, the average worker makes $5,333 a year less. And I would also say that the governor really should talk right now about whether or not he will veto it. If he has great concerns, then he should come out publicly and say he's going to veto it.
Okay, we're going to take a break now, but we will come back. And we're talking with State Representative Katrina Shankland from Stevens Point, just wrapping up her first term in office. And in the new session, she'll be taking over as the Assistant Minority Leader in the Wisconsin State Assembly.
We're talking with Democratic Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point about how she hopes to represent the voices of young people in the state and what her priorities are in the next session.
And you can join in the discussion, too. What do you hope that Democrats and Republicans work together on during the next legislative session? What do you think the priorities of the next legislature should be? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And we do have some folks who would like to talk with Representative Shankland, so let's go to the phones right now, and we start with Ned, who is in Lake, looks like Dubai. Hi, Ned.
Hi. I'd like to bring up the topic of environmental issues, which I consider to be a priority for our state. And I would like to look at converting a lot of our electric power generating plants, which too many of them burn coal. And coal has fly ash that contains mercury, and it gets into our food webs, such as the fish in all of our lakes. Is it too high a level of mercury to be safe to be eaten by pregnant women and in large doses by others throughout the state? That's one issue, and I'd like to see if we could first priority would be to convert more of that electric power generation into renewable power, either wind or solar. And secondly, if we can't do enough of that, could we possibly convert more over to natural gas generation of electricity? I heard in the news recently that Governor Walker does not seem to be in favor of converting coal power plants over to natural gas. I wondered what your comments might be.
Well, let's ask her, Representative Shankland, where does energy fit in your list of priorities?
Sure. Well, I think that investing in renewable energy does several things for us. Number one, obviously, it's good for our environment, it's good for our clean air, it helps all of our health, but also it saves us money in the long run, and it brings our energy dollars home. Currently, Wisconsin is actually sending $16 billion, with a B, dollars out of state every year. We're spending that money on fossil fuels. And what we need to be doing is investing in a renewable economy. Instead of shipping $16 billion out of state every year, we need to be investing in renewable energies here in Wisconsin. Solar energy, wind energy, energy efficiency, and conservation. Because, first of all, the return on investment is incredibly high, but also those dollars are then spent in our community, and those create local jobs, jobs like wind and solar jobs that can't be outsourced, that are family-supporting and very well-paying. So I think, you know, it's incumbent upon all of us as public servants to recognize that we need to not only be ensuring we're leaving our clean air in good shape for future generations, but we also need to be responsible with our dollars, and sending $16 billion out of state every year really isn't a good investment when we could be spending those dollars locally and creating good-paying jobs.
Let's move on, take another caller right now, and it looks like Therese joins us from Stevens Point. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to thank Katrina Shankland for being an excellent representative of my area, and I really appreciate her attention to the problem with student loan debt. When I was a student going through the university system, the state funded the university 40%, that's 40, and now it's down below 16%, and I think that has a really big impact. What I'm really concerned with is talk that people like Robin Voss, the comments saying that the university should be expecting some big policy changes. I really think our university is of great envy to many states in our nation, and I don't understand why the Republicans want to damage it with budget cuts. And I'm wondering if she has any idea what they're planning, because right now we have a big brain drain. We've got a lot of talented faculty leaving our university system for other states. Because of all the budget cuts and things like Act 10. And I'm just really concerned about what the Republicans might be planning for the university. I don't understand how, when they only fund us 15% of our budget, they feel that they can make all the rules for the university. So I'd really like to see the university, you know, be a high priority for the sake of, you know, these students that are coming through. Thank you.
Well, Representative Shanklin, lots of concerns there about the university, and certainly the university has had a lot of issues lately. They had the reserve funding issue in the last year or so, and, you know, there are always costs to be considered with university tuition and so forth. What are your thoughts on this? What if you had a magic wand and could make something happen at the university, what would it be?
Well, I think there are several things that we need to be doing. First of all, we have over $1.2 trillion in nationwide student loan debt. This is an all-time high. It's been increasing at a very high rate, an 84% increase since the recession. So we need to help students. Student lenders should be treated like any other lender. They should be able to refinance their loans. They also should, you know, they deserve a tax break on these loans because they're investing in their education. So Assembly Democrats do have a bill to do that. But I also think we need to recognize that our colleges and universities across our state are the economic engines of our communities, our technical colleges in our rural areas, our big universities. They all drive the local economies. So if we recommit to the Wisconsin idea and we recognize that our universities and colleges are part of a strong economic engine for our local communities, then we should be funding it in a fair way. And, you know, Therese mentioned the decline of state support to our colleges and universities. We have to recommit to what we were operating at in past years. And I think people recognized in the past that our universities did drive that economic development as well as, of course, pivotal education and research, and we need to recommit to that. So I would ask for higher state support for colleges and universities. I think we would see that the returns of that investment in better-paying jobs, more innovative
research. And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. I'm so sorry, Representative Shanklin, but we are out of time. We've been talking with Representative Katrina Shanklin, Democratic State Representative from Stevens Point, and the incoming Assembly Minority Leader.